Next up, television and your toddler. The 35th season of Sesame Street is starting, but before you sit the kids down in front of the tube to catch up on the latest news from Big Bird and Oscar, hear this. A study out this week in the journal Pediatrics links early TV exposure to subsequent attention problems. In other words, the more TV a toddler watches, the harder it is for him or her to pay attention a bit later in life, they're saying in this article, about the age of 7. And 1/4 of all toddlers have a TV in their bedroom, and almost half of all toddlers watch TV every single day. So what does this mean? Does the new study mean no TV for kids? What about educational TV? Is Sesame Street any better? And how much TV is too much? And why would it affect attention? What is the theory behind all of this? Joining us now to explain the research is Dimitri Christakis, Associate Professor of Pediatrics and Co-Director of the Child Health Institute at the University of Washington. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira. It's a pleasure to be here.
I found that that was a fascinating study. How much television are kids watching these days?
Well, you know, from our study, what we found was that children aged 1 watch an average of 2.2 hours a day, and children aged 3 watch 3.6 hours a day. And to put those numbers in perspective, consider that the average child under the age of 3 is only awake about 12 hours a day. So they're spending about 20 to 30% of their waking hours watching television. So it's a pretty considerable exposure.
Now, I would have thought before reading your study that if I put my kid down in front of Sesame Street or some other educational program, that I wasn't doing them any harm.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we didn't have information on content. We don't actually know what these children were watching. It's a nationally representative sample, and presumably these children are watching what children across the country in this age are watching. And most parents, I suspect, do try to choose programming that they deem appropriate for their child, whether it was Sesame Street specifically or some other program, we don't know.
Mm-hmm. And you actually found you studied kids aged 1 and aged 3. And there was actually a correlation between the amount of hours in front and you could actually put a real number on the kind of attention deficit problems they would have later on?
Right. So what we did was parents, when their child was 1 year of age, were asked how many hours he or she watches a day. And they were asked that question again when their child was 3 years of age. And then when they were 7, they were asked a series of questions about how well their child is able to pay attention, how well he or she is able to focus, whether they're impulsive and easily distractible. And those core symptoms are part of the diagnosis of attention deficit disorder, but I should caution at the outset that we did not make the diagnosis of attention deficit disorder in these children. That's a diagnosis that takes input from both parents and teachers, and we only had input from parents. We had no information from teachers. The point, though, is not whether or not they met a clinical diagnosis of attention deficit disorder, but rather that they did have attentional problems, which is what we actually called it in the study.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of problems did they have?
Well, by their parents' report, they were more easily distractible and had shorter attention spans. And specifically, for each additional hour of television they watched on average before age 3, they were 10% more likely to have attentional problems by their parents' report. To put those numbers sort of in perspective, that would mean that a child who watched 2 hours of television a day before age 3 on average would be 20% more likely to have attentional problems than a child who watched no television in the first 3 years of life.
And you just told us before that the numbers of hours they're watching is much greater than this.
Well, the average, that's correct. That's right. They average between 2 and 4 hours a day. Now, some children in our study watch none and some no television, and some watched a great deal, of course.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, it didn't matter what kind of – you did not keep track of what exactly they were watching. Did some kids have it on just for the noise value?
Well, we don't know that. You know, the Kaiser Family Foundation did a national survey just recently and found that 36% of households have televisions on all the time, even if no one is watching. So there is, in fact, the potential that there's background noise and visual stimulation going on in a lot of households for young children all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Our hypothesis was that the first 3 years of life, we know there's critical brain development going on, specifically the connections between neurons, what we call the synapses of the brain, are forming. You can think of it as sort of the wiring of the mind really occurs during this period. And we know from studies of newborn rats that if you expose them to different levels of visual stimulation early in their life and look at their brains under the microscope, you'll see differences in the architecture of those brains according to how much visual stimulation they got. Mm-hmm. And in contrast to the pace with which real life unfolds and is experienced by young children, television portrays rapidly changing images and scenery. It's unnaturally stimulating. It's extremely interesting to young children. They're mesmerized by it very often. But our study suggests that that level of stimulation might, in fact, be harmful to them later on.
So that the act of watching television is actually creating neurological pathways.
Exactly. It's conditioning the brain for a high level of stimulation. And, in fact, that level of stimulation is not what we expect children to get later in their life, right? In fact, real life is not like television, thank God. And certainly teachers aren't as stimulating as television is, nor is homework.
Do the kids need, does this study imply that the kids need downtime for their brains to consolidate things?
Well, I think what their brains need is the kind of environment, the kind of stimulation that we want their brains to acclimate to having later on. So a lot of the activities that parents would otherwise do with their children are all very constructive. Reading to your child, drawing with your child, cooking with your child, any of the sorts of activities that represent real life experiences probably are productive and helpful in terms of prolonging attention.
Mm-hmm.
Unnatural experience, overstimulating experiences might in fact be harmful.
Mm-hmm. You know, you hear many kids these days who say, you know, I can't do my homework without the TV on. Could this be a result of that?
Well, it's potentially. You know, one of the things that's interesting is that the pace of television programming has really accelerated over the last 15 to 20 years, both adult and child programming. It's incredible the pace with which we see these programs take place. It's a very high level of stimulation, and I think we're living in a society now more and more where that level of stimulation occurs.
Are you able to actually show that it's the video and not the audio that is affecting the brains here?
No, we don't have any we have no information over the differential effects of each of those. Of course, both are occurring concurrently in our study, so we don't know the independent effects of each.
We know, I'm thinking with all the iPods and boomboxes and things that kids listen to, the CD players, that maybe a parallel study would be good on whether those are doing the same thing.
That's a very interesting idea, Ira.
Yeah, well, let's we try to talk about it. 1-800-989-8255. Let's take a phone call or two. Scott is it in Des Moines? Hi, Scott.
Hi there, Ira.
Hi there.
Thank you for having me on the program. Actually, I just wanted to call to, give my support for your guest perspectives on how television becomes such a sensory overload for young children. And it's been my observation from, you know, for my short existence on this earth, that network televisions have put, you know, great deal of effort into making their programming, you know, from nanosecond to nanosecond to be so much more captivating.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that, you know, we'll probably experience a real problem in the future. If we, like, experience, like, say, in the Northeast, this great power blackout, we'll probably have suicides from all the people who don't get to watch their television anymore.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Well, I guess if I don't know. Maybe if they depend on TV that much for stimulation.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Ari, because he points out that the pace has really accelerated, and we, as I mentioned before, we don't know the content that these children are viewing, but we do know this: it's not that children's programming is immune to rapid image change. In fact, precisely because it is so enticing, purveyors of children's programming have for a long time exploited rapid image change as a way of keeping children engaged in the screen.
You know, when we were kids, I mean, I grew up in the TV generation. We watched TV all the time. I mean, could that be what's happening about maybe the intensity and the pace of the TV is changing?
That it's had to accelerate in order to keep people stimulated?
Yeah.
That's certainly possible. You know, I don't, I, I, suspect that when you grew up, there was, despite being the TV generation, there was much less television viewing than there is now. I mean,
we actually went out. We actually went outside and played. And did things.
Absolutely. Well, when I was a child, we had no VCRs, which immediately eliminated one source of programming. We only had three stations, and the reception was marginal on two of them where I grew up. And the children's programming was really limited to, you know, a few select programs on PBS. So. Right. As opposed to today, where there's pretty much 24/7 programming that's quote-unquote intended for children, rightly or wrongly, on television, and of course a whole host of videos and DVDs as additional sources of stimulation.
Is it possible to reverse, you know, if you find your kid has been spending too much time and his attention has shown, you know, to be a problem, can you reverse this? Is it brain plastic enough?
Well, during the early periods of brain development, we know there's a tremendous amount of plasticity. That plasticity in general wanes over time. I think the most important sort of take-home message from our study is really one of prevention. We get ADHD and attentional problems have gotten an enormous amount of attention nationally. And really what before our study, there was really no evidence that there was anything that parents could do to actually take preventive action to minimize their child's risk of having attentional problems or to put it positively, to take steps to maximize their child's attention, because I think that most parents would really be very interested in that. I think all parents want their child to be able to focus as best he or she is genetically able to do when they reach school age.
Mm-hmm. Talking about kids' attention span and how much TV they watch this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. So your take-home message is control the amount of TV they watch.
Well, the American Academy of Pediatrics in 1999 recommended that children under the age of two watch no television at all. That recommendation was criticized at the time, in part because it really lacked an empiric basis. Our study is the first to explore television viewing in this very young age group, and in fact to suggest that there might be deleterious consequences later. In light of that, I do recommend now to my parents that they not let their child watch television the first 2 years of life, that they be extremely guarded about both the amount and the content later on. You know, I should point out that our study is the first to look at young children and the effects of television, but there have been numerous studies looking at older children and television, and we know that television viewing in older children is associated with aggression, obesity, sedentary activity. There are a whole host of reasons to limit your child's television viewing across the whole age span.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-989-8255. Suleiman in Tallahassee. Hi, Suleiman.
Thank you for taking my call. I was saying that I think that the biggest problem with children watching television when they're very young is because they know almost absolutely nothing, and if they see somebody doing something on television, then they're likely to copy and do the same thing later on when they could.
Do you find that true in your case?
Sort of.
How much TV do you watch?
Maybe an hour and a half a day.
Wow, that's terrific. I wish my kids watched only that amount. Although my kids are now on the computer. Do you work on the computer more than you watch TV these days?
Actually work on the computer?
I mean, you know, play or do video games or chatting and online stuff?
I don't really do very much of that, no.
Okay, let me, Dr. Christakis, any reaction?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we didn't look at that, but it's another important variable that we want to assess in future studies, because the caller's right that there's a lot of aggression in a lot of these young TV programs as well, and it may very well be the case that there are other behavioral problems in addition to attention span that are affected by early exposure, but we didn't actually assess that in this study.
Well, as you say, this is really just the first study of its kind. Where do you go from here?
Well, this was an observational study, Ira, and although we tried to control for a great number of variables, we can't be certain that even at a very young age, even at the age of one, that children that were predisposed to having short attention spans were already more drawn to the television and their parents indulged that desire. So it could, in fact, be the case, potentially, that these very young children were predestined to have attentional problems and their parents put them in front of the television set, and that wasn't actually contributory. So the definitive design would actually be an experimental study where we intervened on young children, tried to reduce their television, and follow them up subsequently to see if their attention and behavior was affected.
Are you headed in that direction?
That's the study I would like to do next.
Mm-hmm. And basically, you obviously just need time and money to do something like
that. That's exactly right. Time and money, and neither is easy to come by. Doing that study would take a while, even under the best of circumstances, because remember, we'd be following these children for 5 or 6 years, so
right.
Everyone will have to stay tuned for quite a while, even under optimal circumstances.
Well, you know, so many kids are just sitting there watching TV for all these years. Something needs to be done about, at least studying what's happening.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us, and good luck to you, and we'll keep in touch with those kids on TV.
My pleasure. Thanks, Ira.
Dr. Dimitri Christakis, Associate Professor of Pediatrics and Co-Director of the Child Health Institute at the University of Washington. We're going to take a short break and come back, and we're going to change gear again. And this time we're going to talk about the Amazon rainforest. Interesting. You bet you thought that problem was getting smaller about the deforestation. Well, guess what? It's not going away. Stay with us. We'll talk about it.